Hello everyone. So today's talk is kind of the segue of the talk that I gave last year here in the networking room at FOSDEM. Last year it was more like a prototype, now it's a full-fledged project. The agenda for today is why we might want to run a router on our Kubernetes nodes. What's this OpenP router project about? It's a router that you can run on Kubernetes nodes. How you install it on your cluster and how you integrate it with your existing component of the cluster, and what's ahead. So first of all, why we might want to run something like a router on a Kubernetes node. And the thing is, on cloud providers, everything is simple. The network is abstracted away from us. We only have one big ATH0 interface, and that's it. But where I work on is the dark side of things. On bare metal, you have users want to do their own things. You have multiple networks. You have you want network segregation. You want multiple VLANs, secondary interfaces, and a lot of stuff that require your fabric to be configured around your cluster and vice versa. You need to have your clusters being talking to the fabric in a way that both are configured together. And also, I think the life of a network engineer is a bit less boring, but that's personal. So how is the fabric configured? And most importantly, who is configuring this fabric? So we said that we want multiple networks, and the most common way of doing this is with VLAN interfaces. So you go and configure some VLAN interfaces on your nodes. Those VLAN interfaces are translated into VPN tunnels in some way in your top-of-the-rack switch. You have multiple BGP sessions between your nodes and your top-of-the-rack, and everything works. From a data plane point of view, there is a mapping between the tunnels and the VLANs, and the fabric is configured to encapsulate the traffic coming from and to those VLANs into some kind of tunnels. If we focus on the host sees multiple interfaces. It sees multiple BGP sessions. I'm a bit biased because I work on MetaLB as well, so I put it as an example. But the same happens with Calico or with any other component that talks BGP in your cluster. So what happens is that every single VLAN, every single interface becomes your access point to a different tunnel. But the elephant in the room is who is configuring the top of the rack. And whenever I want to add a new network, who am I asking to configure that network into the fabric? And this brings a common theme that I observed talking to multiple users, which is this kind of tension between the networking folks that do not want to touch anything because they are afraid that the network will break, and the cluster folks, which want to spin up a new tenant. They want to add a new type of network to our nodes. And so there is this tension, which results in discussions, in a reduced agility, and so on. So what we are doing with OpenP Router is to take this concept, the VPN termination, and we are moving that down to the node. So the same thing that was happening on the top of the rack, the translation between a given VLAN and or multiple VLANs and a VPN tunnel is now handled by this new OpenP component, which runs into the node and which expose the networks as VAT legs toward the host. So OpenP router, again, is a separate network namespace. The network namespace isolates all the complexity required to set up some kind of VPN such as EVPN VXLAN. It uses FRR as the control plane for the BGP part. And the idea is that it behaves like a router. So the same interaction that our components would have with a real router now can happen towards this component. And of course, the configuration is CR-driven, so we can leverage all the stuff that comes with Kubernetes. And of course, we can have multiple networks. So we can have multiple VET legs exposing multiple BGP sessions and acting as the access point to multiple telnets. And this should remind us what we just discussed. So the interaction is exactly the same. The difference is that this is driven by CRDs and configured automatically, whereas what we had before, we had to go to the networking folks and to ask for a new configuration. And
okay, I work for KubeVirt. Pretty much we run virtual machines in Kubernetes, and if something is our bread and butter, it would be live migration and layer 2. So I'm here to speak about everything related to layer 2. Okay, thank you for that. So how would you typically do this without OpenP router? You need a new network, you plumb a new VLAN into it. You plumb that into your top of rack. Your top of rack will pretty much have the IP address for the gateway. And then the network people would go and configure the top of rack with the VPN, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people have to coordinate between themselves. So friction. This is not what we want to have. Hence, with OpenP router, what you essentially have is you have your Kubernetes node, you have your router running, which is that blue thing over there is like the network namespace of the router. For every overlay you're creating, you're essentially creating a dedicated bridge for it. So that number right there is the VNI you're using. So you have three networks. Each of them is encapsulated on a different VNI. And you have a VETH pair connected to that bridge. And you're left with a dangling VETH on your host. Then you will plumb this VETH, and you will find a way for this VETH to extend into your workloads. Essentially, fabric becomes dumper.
Yeah, so what happens to the fabric then? On the fabric side, we don't need to configure tunnels anymore. We only need to configure leaf routers to relay around these BGP routes related to the VPN, and the traffic becomes completely routed. So it's plain IP traffic that is being routed by the fabric according to the BGP constructs. So in this case, there is no need to involve the networking people anymore. The configuration is dynamic, it can scale, and it's very easy to add or to remove overlays. And please note the hand is not completely right. The first kind of tunneling that we added is EVPN VXLAN. And in order to implement that, we need two things. We need an underlay. We need to configure the session between the node and the top of the rack, where we can spread around our BGP routes and send out the VXLAN packets. We can do that in a couple of ways with OpenP router. One way is to steal an interface from the node. Can work on some in some scenarios, cannot work in other. So we take the interface from the network namespace of the host and we move it into this new network namespace. Or we can use Multus, because this runs as a pod. So we can use Multus and make VLAN interfaces, for example, to have one interface that allow you to establish the BGP session with the top of the rack switch. YAMLs, because it's Kubernetes, so like this is how you configure it. It's very simple. You need to have a session between the top of the rack and your P router. And of course, we have node selectors and all the nice things that come with Kubernetes. And in this example, we declare the interface that we want to steal. Then there is this L3 VNI that enables the creation of the VETH leg that I was talking about. We will listening to BGP, and what is going to happen is that all the routes received from and to the host are going to be translated into EVPN type 5 routes with the local VTAP as the tunnel endpoint. And from a traffic point of view, the traffic from and to the fabric gets encapsulated and decapsulated. And this is how you do that. you declare the VNI, which is the identifier of the tunnel, one VRF that is used for the Linux VRF inside the namespace, a local CIDR. One thing to note is that, getting back here, one thing to note is that the end side of the VAT on the router will always have the same IP regardless on the node, and on the host side is going to be different. So your BGP configuration should be easier. Then layer two.
Okay, L2 guy again. So essentially what we've seen is how to provide like an interconnected type of networks. This is how you would have like a stretch layer two network across your fabric doing things with that, like interconnecting different type of clusters. This is what you would use, an L2 VNI. The interesting thing is you, as I said before, you will have one VAT pair per each VNI that is connected to a bridge, a dedicated VNI for that bridge, optionally encapsulated in a VRF, so you can have network segregation in it. And in the host side, what you'll have is a bridge. It can be an OVS bridge, it can be a Linux bridge. You choose what you want to plumb with. And then the magic is that this bridge is what your workloads will attach to. And how do you do that? Well, this is how you create the L2 VNI thing. And the most interesting things here is the VNI number that you choose and the VRF. The VRF is essentially the key of the interconnection between your L2 VNI and your L3 VNI in case you want to expose this stretch layer 2 to the outside world. Okay.
I already have the mic. So there is also this pass-through mode that was made more for testing integration, and also if you have a process on the host that needs to access directly to the fabric, but you want still to have a single session with the top of the rack switch. So the idea is still the same. You have something on this side that talks BGP with this. The only difference is that no encapsulation will happen, no route translation will happen, but it's going to just be translating the BGP routes. So second part of this is how does this integrate with the existing projects? And as we said before, one driving concept is we want these to interact with our existing components such in the same way that they would be interact with a real router. On the official website, there are a few examples that you can run on your laptop. I'm gonna just talk briefly about a couple. There are layer three ones, so I'm going to talk about MetaLB again because I'm quite familiar with the project. With MetaLB, we can establish one BGP session per VAT, and again, each VAT is the access point to you for you to that overlay, and you can advertise different services to different overlays. And this is what is going to happen when you deploy the example on your laptop. This is a container lab instance connected to a kind cluster, and MetaLB will advertise the BGP routes related to the services to the OpenP router. OpenP router will translate them as type 5 routes, and they will be spread across the fabric, and the leaves are acting as determination, so these hosts here will be able to access the service. And again, this is something that if you look at the website, you can deploy on your laptop. And from a data path point of view, you have TCP on the terminations and on this path, and all the rest is UDP packets sent to and from the VTEPs. Calico is another thing that I tried to play with because I wasn't familiar with the project, so I wanted to see if effectively we could integrate with him. And in this case, the bird instance running on each node is peering with the peer router and advertising their pod CIDR. And we can have pod to pod traffic, so east to west traffic happening through VXLAN and with the routes spread around as EVPN routes. And we can even have those pods routable from the host connected on the same overlay.
Okay. For L2 integrations, we have two of them, like with Qvert, pretty much like running virtual machines, and the equivalent, but for pods. So both of these are using secondary interfaces to do that. And this is a slide that I thought we would have before. Remember that bridge we've seen? This is how you attach it to your workloads. We rely on multis, so secondary networks, and you just use your network attachment definition of choice to attach your VM to that bridge, which again could be an OVS bridge, could be a Linux bridge, could be IP VLAN or Mac VLAN on top of that. Interesting enough, we also have like a distributed gateway IP, so pretty much no matter in where your VM runs, because your VM can migrate to a different node in a different cluster, it will always point to the same gateway MAC and IP address, thus reducing the downtime while you migrate. From the Qvert perspective, this is what it looks like. It's essentially the same, and our integration, like the demos we provide to showcase the integration, also allow for a host on a separate network to access the VMs, which run on a separate network. And for the demos?
Yeah, so basically we didn't have time for live demos, but this is a reference to a YouTube playlist with a bunch of demos of the stuff that we spoke about just now. I want to stress on the fact that you can run those very same demos on your laptop by running a bunch of make commands from a checkout of the repository. So last bit is what's next, what we are planning to do. So one thing is that all this stuff that we spoke about now works beautifully for if you are leveraging your primary CNI, but whenever your application uses an SRV interface that is completely bypassing the host. So it's like having one wire that bypasses the peer router and goes directly into the top of the rack, and so you are back at square one. You have to ask somebody to configure your fabric. So this is something that we'll try to solve in some way. Second bit is there is this chicken and egg problem, because in order to configure the router, you need to access the API server, but what if you want all your network to go through this thing? And so we are working, and we are halfway in merging PRs to have a way to run this as a systemd unit that can be bootstrapped with a static configuration, and then whenever the API server is available, then it's going to start consuming the new configuration. So it's a fancy way to have the basic connectivity required for the cluster to come up at boot time, while being able to configure and add the networks dynamically. SRV6, from the host point of view, it's going to be just another type of VEF. So if you run Calico or MetalLB or Qvert here, nothing will change. What is going to change is how you configure those VEFs and where those VEF leads. So in this case, some VEFs will lead to an SRV6 tunnel, which I think is the nice part of this architecture. The data path is kernel-based, so we are investigating and discussing if there is a way to have a pluggable data path that can be faster and can also solve the SRV interface problem. We are talking to the team behind Grout, which is a DPDK-based graph router. It has already some integration with FRR, so the idea is to have a pluggable data path. One can be kernel for those users where kernel speed is more than enough, and Grout or any other possible data path available. Resources, we try to keep the documentation easy to consume. Again, examples on how to configure OpenP Router to integrate with the existing projects. There is this talk that I gave last year about how EVPN works and how I started prototyping this, and that's basically it. So, long story short, it's still a project that we are bootstrapping. It works, it has CI. We are open to collect feedback, if you have use cases that we didn't think about, just file an issue. And also, we are trying to be contributor friendly. We already have some external contributions, which I think is very nice. And with that, we are done. If there are any questions.
So yeah, we don't have much time, but maybe just one. And Maxime, the next speaker, if you're here, please come on up.
All right, thank you for the talk. The CNI integration, is it just BGP, or does Calico have something more fancier that you are using for it?
I don't know. Like, the only thing that I tried it with is BGP.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you very much. Sorry, we're out of time.
And again, the point is that Calico sees it as a router. So the configuration is identical with